Lord, and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Wait for the Lord and be strong, the psalmist says. But for how long? How long must we wait? This has been a difficult week. On a personal level, my daughter was sick for much of the week, making it very difficult for both my wife and I to do what we'd normally do in the week. Now, I'm sure everyone has their own personal struggles, and perhaps this week has been difficult for you on a personal level as well. But there are problems that extend outside of that sphere. Our federal government has been consumed with a scandal around trust, despite being elected on a platform of its work for over a month now. And our neighbors to the south were hit with two challenges of their own. The president using his veto to prevent questioning of his declaration of a state of emergency on the southern border, and perhaps of a different nature, a high-profile investigation involving 50 wealthy families defrauding the admissions process to get their already privileged children into prestigious schools. In the midst of all of that, Friday, the world was devastated to hear of horrific violence in New Zealand at two mosques where innocent worshipers were killed. At last count, 50 were killed and nearly as many injured. Suddenly, those other problems seem inconsequential. But they're not really. Now, I had wanted to say that the world was shocked by the massacre, but it wasn't. We weren't shocked. Many of us weren't especially surprised, actually. Sad, perhaps, even personally devastated, but this is far from the first time this has happened. And you can draw a connection to this massacre and what has been happening in the governments lately. The shooter apparently included praise for Trump in his manifesto, which was sent out to the media in advance, which mentioned white nationalism. Our own government has shown that it is more concerned about money and re-election than honesty. The college admissions scandal has shown that even those people who have an advantage over the rest of the population already are leveraging their considerable means to further their causes over and above the needs of those who are desperately looking to gain some ground in an uneven race. In the midst of all this, we cry out, "How long, Lord? How long must we wait? How long must the innocent continue to suffer? How long must injustice persist?" And when you come here today, I hope you are wanting to hear that there are other things than just bad news. Even in the midst of this, there is some good news for us, though perhaps not the good news that we're hoping for. As we struggle to find the good news, Psalm 27 is helpful for us. That's the one that we chanted earlier today. Psalm 27 serves as a template for the swinging pendulum of our lives. It captures the challenges of remaining faithful in challenging times, but that might not be immediately evident. The whole psalm as we have it is 18 verses long, and the first 9 verses are very positive and encouraging. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" is how it begins. And it continues in much the same way for the first half. "My enemies will stumble and fall. My heart will not fear. My trust will not be shaken. One thing I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord." The first half ends with no hint of what will follow in that second half. Verse 9, the end of the first half, ends with, "I will sing and make music to the Lord." And then there's an abrupt shift. as it continues in verse 10. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. And the second half has more of these pained cries for help. Hide not your face from me. Cast me not away. Subject me not to the will of my foes, for they rise up against me. How can this be the same author? How can the same person have so many different perspectives on the same God's role in their life? It doesn't take most of us long to sympathize with the author of this psalm. Many of us go through days or weeks or months and sometimes even years where everything seems to be going great. In those verses 1 through 9, God is good, we are healthy and happy, our lives seem to be on track, and we have reason to hope that things are getting even better. Then suddenly, without warning, the pendulum swings the other way, and all of a sudden we are in verses 10 to 18. We wonder where God is, or if God is punishing us for something. We suffer loss, hardship, pain, and we can't see any hope on the horizon. And we stay in this hardship always longer than we want. But sometimes the pendulum doesn't swing for a long, long time. And then there are other times when it swings back and forth multiple times, even in the same day, it seems. The psalm ends with a note of hope. Not with the same confidence that opened the psalm, but with an earnest call for perseverance and faithfulness. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Where do we find ourselves today? What verse are we at? Or, considering instead the reading we had from Genesis instead of the psalm, are we like the Abram of chapter 12 of Genesis? Not the one we heard today, but the one that came before. That Abram who heard God's promise to bless him and make him a great nation through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Imagine Abram's elation. God had chosen him and would bless all the world through him. It's hard to beat that. So is that where you are today? Or perhaps you're like the Abram of Genesis chapter 15 that we heard in our first reading. Many years after this promise from God, after Abram had endured wars and travel and hardship and strife, God again appears and promises that Abram will get something wonderful. Do you sympathize with this Abram who says to God, "How? You promised to make me a great nation, and I still don't even have any offspring all these years later." At the time the story started, when God first made the promise to Abram, he was already 75 years old. How many of us are where Abram was? Now, the good news that I promise you today is this. God is faithful. God is good. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't suffer hardships. That also doesn't mean that our trials and our suffering aren't real and painful, which they are. But when we are at the darkest moments of our lives and we don't see any reason to hope for things to get better, we are still called on to be faithful. Because the way forward, the way of hopefulness, might not be obvious to us. For Abram, he still wasn't Abraham, he couldn't see how it was going to work, how God was going to fulfill the promise. But God had an even bigger plan in mind for how God was going to bless all the nations of the earth. And we heard the foreshadowing of that in the reading from Genesis. Abram took a heifer, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon, and cut the animals in half, lying the cut halves near each other on the ground. This, although it sounds very bizarre and is strange to our modern ears, was how you made a covenant in Abram's day. When Abram fell into a deep sleep, God made a smoking fire pot and a torch pass between the cut pieces. The covenant was from God to Abram. And what the covenant said was that God was willing to give God's own life to be cut in half, just like the animals were cut in half, in order that this promise to Abram might be fulfilled. And the promise to Abram to make a great nation of Abram through which the world would be blessed was ultimately fulfilled in the birth of Isaac. But fast forward 1600 or more years later, and we get to Jesus in Jerusalem in our gospel reading. In a rare moment of helpfulness, the Pharisees seem to be looking out for Jesus and warning him that Herod wants to kill him. Now, Jesus is not only not at all afraid of death, and he scoffs at those who warn him. He tells them to tell Herod, "I'm right here if you want me." But Jesus is also keenly aware of his impending death, and that his death will come like the prophets before him in Jerusalem. Now, despite the fact that he's awaiting his death in Jerusalem, Jesus is still moved by his love for that city and compares himself to a mother hen wanting to gather and protect her chicks under her wings. Jesus is moved by love for the people that he will ultimately die for. Though the love of God moved Jesus to die not just for the people of Jerusalem, but for all the nations of the earth. This was to fulfill the covenant that God made with Abram. God would be killed, just as those animals were killed. God kept the covenant with Abram, and all the nations of the earth were blessed through Abram's offspring, one of which was Jesus himself. God is faithful. God is good. We can rely on God and we can trust in God. But that alone doesn't mean we don't suffer. That doesn't remove us from our hardship. That doesn't even promise that we will know why things happen the way they do in this life. There are mysteries in this world that we will never know the answer to. Why did all those people die in New Zealand? Where does this hate come from? I don't know. I don't expect that I will ever know, not in this life. I wouldn't insult anyone who is suffering through this or through any other hardship by saying that this is part of God's plan and we just can't understand it, as though somehow that is going to minimize the suffering. To suggest that God is in control is not a comfort for those who are grieving. And yet, I want to encourage all of us here today to trust in the Lord in good times and in bad. Don't expect easy answers for why suffering remains in this world, but continue to lament, continue to cry out to God, and ask again and again, "How long, Lord? How long must this continue?" And in the meantime, while we wait for God's response, let us strive to help rather than to harm. Let us seek to improve the situation of those who suffer most, even when the temptation exists for us to take advantage of it for our own benefit. Let us encourage others, even when we are discouraged ourselves, and we may find our own temperaments are improved as a result of that effort. We won't always see for ourselves what the path looks like going forward. We won't know what it is that we hope for. But we know this: God is faithful, God is good, and God is just, even when we have questions and doubts. This I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord.